What's happening, my friend?
Hey, happy Friday.
Happy Friday it is indeed.
Yes. So, I'm gonna just real quick here on the podcast.
Are you tweeting? Are you Instagramming?
No, I'm sending my wife a notice that I'm on
the podcast. Do not
disturb. Yeah, do that. So do not come in here. Yeah,
it's better than don't come in here because I'm watching the pornography. Don't come in here because I'm being productive. I'm actually working, but that's code for I'm watching porn.
This ain't really working. So. it's been a good day so far. Much better day than last week. So, hi everybody. I'm Mike, and this is Travis, the other voice. So there's the introduction. There's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to get started. So I'm just gonna kind of.
Well, hey, I know exactly where to start. I want to bring something up. Remember, it was maybe a week or two ago, and I went off on some crazy tangent about the sharks.
Yes.
Where I threw out my theory that we should kill all the sharks in the ocean because, you know, above anything else, I'm a capitalist. I want to save the economy. I want to put people back to work. And, of course.
Well, it's really an idea.
I thought so.
Putting people out in the ocean. So.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. But, you know, a lot of people would come down on me because that's cruelty to animals and we can't kill the sharks and, you know, going out in favor of killing anything is not really good, but there was a legitimate article in the news. I shit you not, last week or something, that there's something in a shark's DNA. I don't even pretend to know what it is, but it's something that is harvested out of a shark. You have to kill the shark to get something out of it that goes into the COVID vaccine. Did you read this story?
No, this is news to me.
It was a real story, and there was some estimate about upwards of 500,000 sharks that would possibly be hunted and killed to contribute to the vaccine for the COVID.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that?
It sounds bad for the sharks. That's what I'm going to tell you right there.
Well, the thing is, I mean, they might get off. Are they going to be better off under my plan or the plan to help save humanity with the vaccine? I mean, who's going to kill more sharks, me or the people for the vaccine?
Well, if there's something that we need sharks for in the vaccine, they're dead. They are going to be dead. I mean, every country on the planet will start killing them. Shark ingredients in...
You're fact-checking me already.
You know, I just want to know what the hell it is. Well, I don't know. My whole thing's froze up. Squalene?
Maybe. That sounds right.
That's a moisturizing cream. I'm surprised they're not dead already just for that. let's see. Shark ingredients in COVID vaccine. Okay, let's see if that's any better. I don't see. Let's see here. Sharks could be harvested for COVID-19 vaccine.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is tragic. This is terrible. I mean, here's what I'm going to tell you.
It's terrible.
That's going to be millions and millions of otters let loose on the California coast.
It's terrible because now I have competition. Because I need to put people back to work and put them out in the oceans to hunt these sharks. And if they're going to be hunted for the vaccine, I have somebody to compete with. That's not good.
Wow. Yeah, this material is called squalene. Squalene. And it's in the shark's liver.
I've never heard of it before, but, you know, whatever.
We should
hunting an evil predator.
Well, let's see. I mean, I'm thinking, let's see if it's in the Republican's liver.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
Oh, my God. So crazy, man. I mean, if it isn't COVID, and speaking of COVID, I guess, everybody's probably hearing this next Friday. So
We're a day late and a buck short as usual, but. Yeah, bigger news than the debates, you know. Everybody thought Biden was going to fake an injury or come down with the COVID so he could skip out on the debates. And here it is, you know, now Trump, after many would say, you know, he underperformed, that he's the one that has the COVID. And so is he going to be able to make the next debate?
Is it possible that this is a sham? I mean, we all know that you know, anything coming out of the White House could be a lie with no trouble. Is this a sham to get out of the debate since he sucks?
I don't know. I would hope not. I mean, but anything's possible. But you heard that theory, right, about Biden. I mean, I think we even covered it, but we talked about it weeks before, that would he even want to do the debate, and would he somehow, I call it faking the injury so he wouldn't have to perform. Is it possible that this was conjured up in the Trump White House, that should he perform terribly or for whatever reason they wanted to get out of debates 2 and 3, that they would release such a story, such a scam? I mean, I don't know. Wouldn't you think in today's world, I mean, they have a White House doctor and God knows however many other people are there, but wouldn't you think in today's world it would come out if it was fake? I would hope at least that the diagnosis is real.
Yeah, no, I totally believe that him and many people in the White House probably have tested positive. It looks like maybe, I don't think we're going to be able to, I mean, on my part, I would probably be sending Hope Hicks flowers, telling her thanks for taking out the Perez, but it's probably not her fault. It looks like maybe, and this is also preliminary, right? It looks like it's coming from the SCOTUS announcement, which was out in the, I don't know, in the Rose Garden or outside somewhere, but nobody had any masks and it was pretty close quarters. And it looks like multiple people that were there, including some reporters that should have known better, are testing positive. And it's not all linking back to these plane flights and stuff. It's linking back to that. So, you know, I guess the good news for the country is that as of today, right now, the vice president is healthy. And so there should be no matter what happens, the continuity should be good, right? That's never good. It would never be good to have everybody at that level sick or incapacitated, you know.
But let's also say, as far as we know and as far as is being reported, Trump is healthy. He has a positive test, but we don't have any information to suggest that he's ill, right?
Well, so let's talk about that for 1 second, because I have been following this. While I've been working digitally, I was also keeping track of the Twitter feed and stuff. The latest, so one thing is we talk about asymptomatic, right? So people can be asymptomatic, they have no symptoms, yet be tested positive for the COVID. That's not what's going on with Trump. He has tested positive for COVID-19 and he does have symptoms.
What are the symptoms?
So he's lethargic and he's running a low grade temperature. So
that has nothing to do with COVID. But that has to do with Big Macs.
Well, then I think he would have been running this temperature all along.
He looks hot, right? Oh. He runs hot. He's always got that sweat on his upper lip.
Oh my God. Did you see him on Tuesday?
That's bad.
He was rabid. I mean, I don't know what else to say, you know.
I was going to ask you, you know, typically on this show, obviously you are completely anti-Trump and I'm the guy that has to defend Trump for whatever reason. Not that
I really don't mean to make you try to defend Trump, because that's impossible. So why would I do that?
But what else is happening in the news is a little bit of, you know, people kind of looking at things on the more humanitarian side. And even Biden and Harris have come out and obviously sending their well wishes to the president and his wife. Are you going to go on that bandwagon? You mentioned flowers to Hope Hicks. Are you going to send flowers to Trump?
You know, here's the thing. They have no choice, because unlike Trump, they're not completely devoid of all manners and you know, and maybe at some level they even feel that, although I find it hard to believe. I think most of us that despise Trump are just, I mean, at some level we're all happy to hear it, because he's been such a jackass on this subject the whole time. And yeah, he's put a lot of people. I mean, he has put a lot of people in the way of COVID-19 with his ridiculous behavior. So
here's the thing that, you know, I'm not happy he got it, and I'm not happy he got it because this is one of the areas that we agree, he and I, where, I mean, he's been vocal about the fact that this is something that, you know, very few people die from, or what are the things he's saying? Like, if you're young, you know, you probably won't even know you have it and all this stuff. His communication skills are very poor, obviously, but it doesn't take away from some of the things that he's saying that happen to be true, which is where I have been on this thing from the very beginning and is well documented through our show. But the fact is, you have to live your life. And this argument from the left, from Biden and Harris and everybody else, that, and they're, whoever's running their Twitter account, you know, just tweet storm after tweet storm about, oh, he's irresponsible and he's killed 200,000 people because of his lack of leadership. That's bullshit. You can't, neither of these parties can control this virus. If people want to stay in their homes and live underground, so be it. And maybe you won't get it. But the fact is that you have to live your life. And if you go out and you're in public, you run the risk of being exposed to this and everything else that happens to be on our earth, and you take that risk. The other assumption, and I've said this before, even if it was a Biden White House, is that make whatever mandate you want. Doesn't mean people are going to go along with it. And that's the problem. It's an assumption that people are going to do what you say. And I firmly believe that here we are 9 months into this thing. We know a hell of a lot more about it than we did in the beginning. I think people are tired of it. There is definite COVID fatigue, and any new possible restrictions, yeah, economic or otherwise, they're going to have a hard time getting people to go along with it.
Hey, you know, which out of the two of us, which one of us went out to dinner in a restaurant this week?
That would be you, my friend.
What? Well, you know, I'm...
Are you going to get tested now and wash yourself over the coming days and weeks?
Am I going to wash myself? Oh, watch myself.
Yourself.
Well, I watch every day, dude. You know, my age, you know, every little thing you're watching, like, oh, you know, am I sick? You know, I think that I don't have a whole lot of comeback for that. I mean, I've listened to everything you have told me about, you know, that viewpoint on the COVID. And I think, you know, I think now is the time that for me to kind of wait and see what happens down the road when we really know. I mean, it's all kind of conjecture at this point.
So what made you go out, by the way? What gave you the confidence to go out to dinner? You knew that you were going to sit down. You had to take off your mask to eat. You were going to be, yeah, in a place with at least a few other people. I think we're still at 25% capacity. So 25%. What gave you the confidence to do that?
Well, I mean, because it is at 25%, so I wasn't going to be in an indoor space with an inordinate amount of people. To be honest with you, at 25%, I think I could see the elbow of one other patron
behind the plexiglass booth next door.
Yeah, and I mean, at 25%, we were pretty well spaced out. I did tell the maitre d' that one of the reasons I was there is because if they're going to operate at 25%, I wanted to get in and get a meal there before they had to shut down and go bankrupt. Because at 25%, I don't know why or how you even open the door. So, but you know, here's the other reason. My wife had a $50 coupon that was going to expire. So that was another motivation. $50 means a lot.
$50 is $50.
Yeah, $50. So that's $50. It was a great dinner. It was McCormick and Schmick, and it was and you know, I'm not getting anything from them for this. So it was a delicious fish and chips, and the appetizer was calamari. So to be honest with you, I mean, you know, when you sit down, you think about it. I haven't been in a restaurant since March, and I don't make I don't make calamari at home.
I wouldn't think so.
So that was another big part of it. She's like, hey, there's calamari on the menu. Okay, I'm in. Let's go. I'll take a chance. You know, it seems safe. That's what I'm going to tell you. So,
but it seems safe. But based on all those things that you mentioned, which in your mind you justified it, but the fact is you don't know. All it takes is one person that you could have come in contact with. Maybe you touched the door handle. I mean, I don't know, but nothing will guarantee that you're safe.
I made sure that what's the right way to put this? I promised myself I wouldn't pick my nose until I got home and had a chance to wash my hands. So
you can pick, just don't eat until you get home.
So, I mean, look, on any given day, like you said, somebody could try to kill me by putting something nasty in my food or on my silverware or something. I mean, you don't need COVID for that. You can just stick it in your feces and that you're going to get it. You know, you're going to get sick. So, you know, assuming none of that shit was going to happen, it seems relatively safe. Right. And I'm with you, too. I want businesses to make it right. I want business to make it. And I don't have a political dog in the fight on the COVID. I don't see any of it, wearing the mask or not wearing a mask. I don't see any of it as a political thing. I know a lot of people do, and I think my personal opinion of anybody that does think that is that they're just being silly.
Well, wait a minute,
you need to protect yourself. That's all.
But that is at the core of what's happening in our country right now, and what we spend a lot of time talking about. Your people, Biden and Harris, they're saying that there are things that the government can do and that they will do. And they are pointing out what they believe are the failures of the Trump White House.
I pointed out all those failures too. I personally think that as far as the COVID goes, I think that, you know, that's not my favorite political issue. So, and I don't control what those two folks decide they want to talk about. Everybody that thinks Trump is responsible for making the COVID worse in this country, they already think that. You're not going to convince them if they don't think it already. If they think he had nothing to do with it, you're not going to change their mind either. So I think the COVID thing is a kind of a dead issue.
I would tend to agree with you, but I wonder how the narrative will be twisted now with the fact that Trump himself has COVID and that he downplayed it this whole time. I mean, I guess really, you know, the narrative can change all people want it to, but I guess the biggest issue will be what happens to him. I mean, does he remain healthy? Is he going to be hospitalized? You know, does he succumb to the virus? I mean, there's so much that we don't know yet.
He has crossed the threshold, so he's not asymptomatic. So for someone in their 70s to show any kind of symptoms, especially if they're like real light cold or flu type symptoms, it's very dangerous. I mean, he could, in a matter of just 2 or 3 hours, he could become very, very ill. That's how it happens. You know, maybe he won't. I mean, it's not every 70-year-old that gets it hasn't gone into acute pneumonia. But if he does, he's probably a goner because he's morbidly obese, which I hate that term because you look in the dictionary, I think my picture's probably right next to it, but that's what they call him. I mean, he's overweight. So, I think I've probably characterized him as a fat piece of shit more than once. And so I think that, you know, this is very dangerous for him. And I believe in karma. I really do. I'm not much religion, but so.
So this is karma that he got the COVID?
Well, what goes around comes around. And I've seen that a million times in my substantially longer life than yours. And I don't want to bring it down on my head. So I'm not wishing anything for him. I'm frankly a little tired of the whole COVID thing. It's great. I mean, this is definitely the topic of today. I think a more important issue is what we saw in the debates.
Well, we'll get there. But hang on. Before we get to that, in sticking with tradition of the show, do you want to make a friendly wager on this?
What? Did he go? What? Well, he goes alone? Is this a death wager?
I mean, we could go full death, or we could go just, you know, he's maybe ill. He gets all the symptoms. I mean,
well, you know what? Here are the choices before we make the wager or not, because it's really bad taste.
But yeah, that's the spirit of the show. It's all in bad taste.
That's right. And all my taste is in my mouth. So, okay. So here's the choices. Nothing happens to him. He gets better from this point on. He has, you know, he has whatever he has today. He feels lethargic and
is kind of like the norm for him, right?
No.
The way he looks and
I've been saying all along, he's knocking on death's door and you're saying it's Biden. So we'll see. So he could come out of this no problem. He could get very sick and recover and have some long-term injuries, you know, lung injuries and so forth. He could become what they call a long-timer, where he gets some symptoms that stabilize somewhere between mild to severe and never go away. I mean, we have people now that have contracted COVID back in, you know, January or February or March, and they still have symptoms, even though they're theoretically recovered. They never went to acute pneumonia, but they're still having problems, and they don't know why. So there's a lot that we don't know. So, I mean, the bet would be hard. If we're going to bet if he's going to die, it's only a 3% chance he's going to die.
Go full death. Let's not. Okay. So I'll take this side because I know you won't. I have 5 on him remaining asymptomatic or as close to asymptomatic as possible. And he continues, you know, the same old Trump that he always is. And, you know, he's okay. And he'll live another day. And I'm going to put another five for our buddy Matt, because he's not here to defend himself. So I'm going to throw him in on my side. So that's 10.
All right. Great. I'm in for $5. Oh, 10. I got to go 10.
You got to go 10 or find a partner.
Oh, wow. So you're so confident you've got a partner.
I got a partner.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'll go 10 because, you know, I am virtually made of money.
You know, the other thing that obviously has been dominating the news, and the reason, I mean, this is important because it is breaking news. They did cover this on the debates, which we got to get into. And it is highly political because both sides have a different opinion on what they will do moving forward. And the other thing, of course, is the Supreme Court, which I thought got very little press in the last week and really not a lot of coverage on the debates. I was shocked by that.
Hmm. Do we want to talk a little bit about the sure. Supreme Court situation?
Go for it.
I got to be honest with you. Last week, I'm sure some of our listeners may have picked up on this. I was a little disturbed by the whole situation. So, you know, I've had a chance to think about it a little bit. I do have some thoughts on it. Would you mind if I played you something real quick before we start talking?
Let's do it.
I got to check because I don't have the sophisticated equipment that you do. So hold on for 1 second here.
Is this the opposite of Biden's position?
Well, this is Lindsey Graham, who I'd like to take a listen to for a minute.
Playing from Michael's iPhone.
Okay. Wrong one.
Well, you're going to have to summarize it. It's kind of low. What's he saying? What's he ranting about?
Is it kind of low?
Yeah, it's really low.
That was the wrong one. That's good because I wasn't sure how that would come through. That was most of Trump's that was Lindsey talking about Joe Biden, how much he likes him and what a great guy he is and what a piece of crap Donald is. Here, let's see if this comes out.
Yeah,
any
but I
better.
Mean, even if you like somebody, it doesn't mean they have good politics or they make good decisions.
But we wanted to talk about the Supreme Court. So
yeah, you got something?
If it's any better.
Lindsey Graham in 2016. If there's a Republican president in 2016 and a vacancy occurs in the last year of the first term, you can say Lindsey Graham said, let's let the next president, whoever it might be, make that nomination. And you could use my words against me and you'd be absolutely right. And now, Lindsey Graham's words.
Well, listen, that's a powerful statement. And
I'm Lindsey Graham and I'm a jackass.
Wasn't quite that, but okay. Could you hear that one any better?
Yeah, it was a little better. I mean, we get the gist of it, but both sides put their foot in their mouth.
Well, I mean, you know, let me tell you why I played that, because that was the sale job that both McConnell and Lindsey Graham put up for why they were not going to take up President Obama's nomination. So, I totally agree with you on your position that, you know, it's the president's job to put a nomination up. I actually read the entire Constitution yesterday.
Yeah. Enlighten us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have no quotes from it.
But it's kind of good, right? It's a good exercise to go back and do stuff like that.
Yeah. It's up on my favorites. I'm going to read it from time to time. There's a lot going on there. Just an ass load of amendments that I didn't realize. So read them all, read everything. And yeah, it's the president's job to make a nomination. And then it would be the Senate's job to give that nominee a hearing. And so, you know, that should all happen right now. Yeah,
and I think here's what remains to be seen, but it's an important factor here because, as you just pointed out and we covered last week, I wonder what we'd be discussing today if that situation didn't happen in 2016, where the Republicans refused to hear Obama's nominee. But we can't, we can't use that as the standard today.
Yeah, here's what I'm discussing. Lindsey Graham and the Republicans at all agreed that if this situation occurred at the end of Trump's first term, that they would not put a candidate up. So my point and my sole point is just to show, and just once again show, that that group of Republican senators led up by McConnell and Lindsey are just liars. Okay. They are not.
They're also ignorant.
They are not doing what they said they would do. And I don't. So
they can't do what they said they
could
do.
I don't care what the Constitution says.
Well, that's an important factor, Mike.
I care what they said they were going to do. And that's what they promised. And they lied.
Even if they did what they said they were going to do, that would be a lie. Because they can't do that. Nobody can do what everyone wanted them to do 4 years ago and what the Democrats want in reciprocity this time.
I just want them to do what they said they were going to do.
They can't.
That's a pretty low bar. I'm not.
They can't do that.
Yeah, they can.
No, they can't. Constitutionally, they can't.
Well, then go ahead and explain that.
They should not have resisted and blocked the process 4 years ago, nor do they have the power to make a statement that they won't do it now. They don't have the power to do that.
Of course they do.
No, they don't.
They don't have to take it up.
No, they have to take it up. They don't have to vote yes. And certainly
they don't have to take it up.
Yes, they do.
Only up to them. It's their purview. They run it. They decide. I get what you're saying. It's in the Constitution, it's their job to give them a hearing. It's
right.
The president makes the nomination. But that doesn't mean they have to do it. And
what do you mean? You just said it's their job.
The promise he made last time, 4 years ago, it can be upheld. And we assumed it would be then, and it should be now, and it's not. And that's nothing to do with the Constitution.
Here's the reality. Here's the fact.
Listen, they have no integrity whatsoever.
Yeah, that's
so
obvious.
That shred of integrity that Lindsey Graham or Mitch McConnell had is just gone.
At least you're calling him Graham now.
I know. And I did notice that, too. Yeah, so sorry about playing the wrong clip first. I'm not good. I don't have the sophisticated, I'm trying to do this off my iPhone micro recorder, so I got to figure it out a better way. But those are the words, and I just don't think there is no argument that can go against that and justify what's happening.
There is. You
so
want to hear it?
I can agree with you that maybe he shouldn't have said it last time, but he did say it, and nothing can change that.
Here's the argument, because everyone is losing sight of this. This is an emotional decision. Everyone is emotional about it. They're not thinking rationally. They're not thinking contextually, constitutionally. Everybody's making cross references to he said, she said, look at this precedent that was set. Look what happened in 2016. I get all that. It's a fucking bloody mess. But none of it matters because it's emotional. Look at the facts. What are we supposed to do going forward? I'm not defending any of those people. I'm not justifying their decisions. I agree with you. They're all liars. I said this last time. All these fucking politicians are liars. That's how they got elected.
And this is something I wanted to bring up. So just for the record, before we go down this road, I do not agree with any of this moral equivalency nonsense.
What do you mean?
Well, they're all the same. They all do it. There's good people on both sides. I'm not saying
that to justify any behavior. I'm not saying because they all lie, therefore this is okay. It's not okay. But hey, you know me, I'm for limited government. So the fact that we have all these representatives and senators to me means we have bloated government and all these people with a full-time job milking the taxpayers' money. That's not what we are supposed to have.
I think that, you know, even for the sake of our discussion at this point, I think that we have to, I'm going to, you know, acknowledge that I think that they're going to move forward no matter what promises they're breaking or, you know, they don't give a shit about their integrity. They're going to move forward and put up a nominee. They're going to push it through. They're going to put her in. And by the time
we don't know that though, right? We don't know if she'll survive the round of questioning, nor should she be guaranteed to survive, right?
She had COVID already. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she had COVID. So maybe she gave it to, all these people at the SCOTUS announcement. Right.
Maybe. So, I mean, you never know. This goes back to my theory. We all fucking have it. We're all going to get it. Most of us aren't even going to know that we've had it because early on in this goddamn thing, there wasn't enough tests. Now, maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but we're all going to get it. Most of us are going to live and move on. It's a fucking sham.
Let's talk about the Supreme Court thing then. I mean, so what do you want to say about I can't think of her name now.
Barrett, Judge Barrett.
Yeah.
Just call her. It's easier to say.
Judge Barrett.
This time last week, we didn't have a lot of information. I think there was a couple of names. She's, you know, come out as the front runner. I had not even heard her speak on last week's episode. I have gone and looked her up and seen a couple of interviews that she did.
You like her?
Well,
is she a justice that is she someone that you would like to see be a Supreme Court justice?
I don't know. I literally watched one. What was it? It was, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. She did some talk at some maybe graduating class of a law school or something like that. And she was talking about her relationship with Antonin Scalia, who I guess she clerked for. And right. So my only exposure to her was her expanding on when people say this is a conservative justice or a liberal justice and how she felt that Scalia framed that phrase and where he felt he was not conservative in the political sense, but conservative in the way he approaches rulemaking, specifically that he wanted to make sure that he was following the letter of the law and the Constitution. So she gave an example of Scalia, but again, she was referencing her time where she knew him. And I think the example was a case that I don't know what year it was, but Scalia was on the bench, and I want to say it was the state of Texas versus maybe the guy's name is Johnson, but I'm not certain. And it was a flag burning case. And she said, and again, I'm not 100% correct whether or not Scalia had a military background or he had military family, but he was one of these guys that was very passionate about the flag and did not think personally that. Number one, when he saw flag burning, he was very emotionally affected by it. It was very painful to watch that. And he personally did not think that that should be allowed. However, he ruled ultimately that that guy had a First Amendment right based on his interpretation of the Constitution to do that. So she gave that as a Scalia example of where here's this quote-unquote conservative justice who ultimately made a ruling on the side that would typically be more on the left. And she was speaking in favor of that as an example of maybe how she would have made a ruling of something like that. So that's my only exposure to her. I'm not going to be one of the senators quizzing her. And there's going to be a lot. I'll listen to it, most certainly. And there's going to be a lot that comes out. The knock against her already is that she's some right-wing crazy Catholic lady. And she's going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I say this a million times. They're not hearing that right now. That's not currently on the docket or on the calendar or whatever they say. I guess they can take these cases up. I'm not exactly certain how it works, but I've always believed, and I've said this before, that the ultimate checks and balances in our country is we the people, as a government should be. So if something crazy like the overturning of Roe v. Wade ever happened in the Supreme Court, I don't think that the people would allow that. I just don't.
Let me just say that I think everybody in the audience, hold on. I think we're in pretty close agreement here.
Hey, we're ahead of last week's schedule.
Yes, yes, we are. I noted one of our fans sent me a timestamp on the first thing we talked about that we agreed on. It was 50 minutes. So here's the thing. So to that point, I mean, if your fear as a liberal or a Democrat is that this Supreme Court justice, potential justice, is the death nail for Roe versus Wade. I exactly agree with you, Travis. The people are the last check and balance. I mean, the fact is that over 75% of the electorate in this country is not in favor of overturning Roe versus Wade, not in favor of banning abortion, and all the state government efforts to put limitations on how you can get an abortion, notwithstanding an outright overturn on Roe versus Wade would most likely cause a voter backlash that would not be of any concern to what's her last name again?
Barrett,
the new one,
Judge Barrett,
to Justice Barrett, but
she's not a justice yet.
would be a potential Justice Barrett, would end up in legislation that would codify the right to have an abortion in law for all time. So I'm not worried about that, me personally, one way or the other. I think if I had any particular immediate concern, it would be the fact that there's a decent chance that somehow the election ends up at the Supreme Court. Now, in that case, and I will be immovable on this point. If she does become a justice and that does happen, she should totally take herself out of that. She should not be involved in any case that has to do with the election and any case brought to Supreme Court by Donald Trump, because that is a direct conflict of interest.
And I disagree with that completely.
Yeah. Well,
and she said, by the way, she did say on that exact example that she would not recuse herself.
Well, then there should be no end to the effort to not confirm her. I mean, other than that, I would say, hey, if you could make that, then we'll just let the future do its thing. But if it says a lot about her lack of integrity for it says a lot about her integrity for not recusing herself from a very obvious conflict of interest.
How is it obvious? I don't see it. I know the emotional connection is, but what are the facts?
No, the fact is that it's a direct conflict of interest. If any part of this election goes to the Supreme Court, she should simply recuse herself from participating in that adjudication, because he just appointed her. Okay.
Here's why I'm going to tell you I disagree with that. So what, he appointed her? He's not in the Senate. He's not in the group that will ultimately confirm her. If she is confirmed, and it will probably be a slim majority, I'm guessing. Maybe it won't be. Maybe you'll have people from the other side of the line. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be a Pence tiebreaker. I don't know. But certainly that's the speculation. But usually you have a couple of defects on both sides.
No Republican senator has the balls to stand up for what's right in this situation.
But listen, let's say she becomes the justice, right? And one of the first cases that the Supreme Court will hear is whether or not, you know, or whatever the details are that we need to figure out the outcome of the election. She's a justice. She was just fucking nominated. Why shouldn't she hear that case? How does that make any sense?
All judges and justices have a duty to recuse themselves when their personal self-interest is a conflict.
It's not her personal self-interest.
And listen, it's just disingenuous for anybody to say they don't understand that. So say it all
you
want.
I'm not surprised by that comment. I mean, that's certainly, again, one of the talking points from the left is...
I want to put us close to this right now. I'm not reading any talking points.
I'm not saying you are.
I think these things through, and you're hearing my opinion about them.
Yeah, I understand. So, but you're not the only one saying that. You're not the only one saying that.
I doubt I would be.
So the point is this. It would potentially be a justice. That is her job to hear these cases.
Well, if you don't understand the theory of a justice recusing themselves from a conflict of interest, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but here's the other flawed side of that argument. You are assuming that she's going to have to be placed in a position to ultimately make a decision and defend a Trump victory. What if it's the other way? Should she recuse herself there?
She should not participate in any case that has to do with this election.
Why? Because of the timing?
Proximity to her appointment. Well,
I don't see any. I mean,
it is a conflict of.
I don't see it. I don't see the logic there.
There's no other reason needed, Travis. There's no other reason needed for a justice or a judge in any case to recuse themselves. As soon as there's a conflict of interest for any judge in any case, they should recuse themselves. I mean, if this was a criminal case in a lower court and the justice knew the family of the victims.
But can I say something?
Herself.
You're assuming, and that argument assumes, that she's going to gain personally by ultimately becoming a Supreme Court justice by Trump's pick. And that therefore she will automatically
by not agreeing to recuse herself. So she is giving Trump the payoff for this that he's looking
for. That's the assumption, right? That is the assumption. But haven't we already seen who's the newest one? Kavanaugh? Hasn't he already made rulings on cases that would you would think or he was supposed to align with Trump, but he didn't? Haven't we already seen examples of that?
Yeah, but what does that mean? I don't understand.
Well, the point is this. The argument that you're trying to make is that she should recuse herself for the sole purpose that she stood to gain by Trump's appointment. Therefore, she's automatically going to rule in his favor. And that, But that, by the way, is ignorant, and it doesn't give her a fair shake. We literally haven't even heard from her yet. Right?
I haven't, but
I mean, I listened to one tape, but I'm not.
You indicated that she said she would not recuse herself, so I hadn't heard that. So until I heard you say that, I was hoping that she would make that. That would be the first thing that would tell me, okay, she's got some integrity, and she understands how it looks. I mean, here's the thing: the Supreme Court cannot be politicized, and unfortunately, it already is to some great degree. The best thing that can happen is the judge that you expect to take one side or the other makes decisions based on evidence and the Constitution or whatever the case is about. And that's great. But by refusing to recuse yourself for something that is an obvious conflict of interest, I have no respect for that.
I couldn't agree more with what you just said previously. But that's basically character assassination of her because you're assuming that she's going to make the wrong decision because she's put in that place and she's not capable of being neutral or looking at the facts. And we don't know that. But let's just put it this way. You can be rest assured that in the Senate hearings, they're going to ask her that question and they're going to put her feet to the fire and ultimately they're going to have to be satisfied with her answer. I think they're going to spend quite a bit of time on that, don't you think?
I think that the Republicans were going to control that hearing. And if she says, hey, I have no intention of recusing myself from any case that comes up regarding this election, that's what they want to hear. And they're going to be fine with that. So that really, this is not something that's up to the Senate. This is up to her. This is her first decision as a potential justice of the Supreme Court.
We don't know that.
And if for her, it is. No, Travis. We do know that. This is the first question that she needs to answer as a Supreme Court justice nominee.
Listen, I said this before. If you ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer. The wrong question isn't, will you recuse yourself? Or rather, that is the wrong question. The right question is, can you be neutral on this? Can you look at the facts? You know, you need to convince us, Judge Barrett. You need to sit here and convince us and the American people that you are a legal scholar, that you're knowledgeable of the Constitution, and that you're not biased to the person that appointed you to this position to be sitting in front of us today. She needs to convince them of that. But, I mean, the fact that she needs to sit up there and fall on her sword and say, well, I'm not going to, I'll stand back on this one. I don't agree with that. You're hired to do a job. That's like
she's not the fucking partner. Okay.
She might as well be. She's on the payroll.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, I didn't think we were going to agree about that, but I think it's a matter of integrity as a justice, as any judge or justice. And when I see any judge or justice fail to exercise, you know, their discretion to recuse themselves from a given case when there's a conflict of interest. Regardless, I mean, I do assume that she can make a fair decision, but you know, I don't think that it's even right to ask someone to make this kind of decision.
Well, I'm going to ask you another question
on the basis of what it looks like, Travis. So, I mean, you know, will it make a difference? They already have a majority anyway, so it really doesn't matter. So we don't have to argue about it too much. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. You said she's already publicly somewhere said. Which is wrong. She shouldn't be making any statements.
Well, first of all, somebody should fact check me on that. I'm pretty sure she said that. And if she said it, I'm pretty certain that it's because somebody asked her that. But you know it's going to come up in the Senate hearings. They're going to
say
ask
it, then I'll reserve my judgment. But if she doesn't
what's the
say
difference?
It,
what is the
I will
difference?
Have no respect for her as a justice, period.
What is the difference between, you know, she needs
you
to.
You know who I have respect for? Jeff Sessions, who I hate. Right. He's like the epitome of everything I hate about Republican senators. But when he took the appointment to be the attorney general, he immediately recused himself from something that was an obvious conflict of interest, that all the Trump Russia probe and all that jazz. And that cost him. That cost him everything. He's not the attorney general. He's not a senator. He's nobody. Plus, he went through, I don't even know how many months. Was it years? Was it months of having Trump lambast him in public? I have respect for Jeff. I don't agree with anything Jeff Sessions believes in. I don't like any of the stuff he did as attorney general, but he has my respect. I feel he has integrity. I didn't particularly think that before, but I do now. And that's the best example I can give you of how that's supposed to work.
Here's the question I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
And we have to get to the debates. But what is the difference between a justice or anybody in that position recusing themselves versus once they get the job at any point in the future, making a decision that you don't agree with? How do you know at any point in the future it's not just their political bias?
I don't really even understand. Sorry. I don't understand that question. I mean, I assume this is a one issue, one point conflict of interest. And it's this conflict of interest. Trump is just appointing her to the Supreme Court and she'll be confirmed. And then immediately the question of whether he is going to nullify this election through some court action is going to hit the Supreme Court.
Well, here's, let me just say this. I would agree with you. This is how logic and reason works. I would agree with you if it was Trump's sole decision to put her on the bench, if he could literally go from nomination to confirmation. But there's another layer there. So listen, if she gets through, she gets through. She's a justice. She should do her job and hear cases. That's my opinion.
No,
wrong. I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong on this. This is my opinion. Yeah, I'm just saying.
We're going to agree with that. So.
You want to move on to the debates?
Yeah, let's talk about the debates. Did you watch them?
I watched them all, but there was a section in the middle. Yeah, no, I did. I watched it, but I did have to bow out. There was a section in the middle where I had to put the kiddos down, so I'm not sure how much I missed. I did pull some clips.
You don't have a DVR? You don't put it on hold?
You know what? That's a period of your life that you don't get back.
So out of what you saw, I'm interested in your comments on the whole thing.
Well, here's the big thing. So here's the announcement I need to make. And that is that, again, as I said at the opening of the show, I'm the guy that at the very least takes the position of defending Trump, or at least defending against the attacks of the left. And so I said that, this whole thing is Biden going to live? Is he even going to make it to election day? Would he make it to inauguration day?
And I think that's pretty ironic at this point, but go ahead.
It's all totally ironic. And who knew that Biden would do so well? You know, so here's, we like to joke and have fun, and we pull clips of Biden losing his shit and can't follow the teleprompter and, you know, doesn't know which way is up most of the time. I'm not one of these people that's saying he's taking drugs and that's how he's able to put a sentence together, but he looked good. He sounded sharp. He had some notes, so I don't know if they're allowed to bring out notes or whatever, but I think he certainly was taking notes and making references to things that made sense. So I wasn't surprised by Trump because, again, you know,
grab him by the pussy.
Trump is who he is. He's always been who he told us he was. He's the bully.
He was a little over the top even for him.
Yeah, I guess a little, but it didn't surprise me. So yes.
Was he having one of my moments that night where he was
definitely
all wound up?
Oh yes. You two were you were all fired up.
Look, unlike Trump, I can feel an affinity for other people. So.
Well, I just you know, the whole thing, it was terrible, obviously, but let me go back and defend my position, and we'll get into this. You all have always said you didn't think Biden should debate Trump because it wouldn't really be a debate and we wouldn't learn anything. I said he needed to get up there and show us that he can stand strong and look presidential. And Biden did that. And to what extent Trump did or didn't do it, or whether or not he cranked it up to another level, you know, that's for the Trump supporters to decide. But Biden did his job. I'll say Biden did his job.
You know, Travis, and you know, after a heated exchange over the stupid Supreme Court nomination, I want to say these are the kind of things that do cause me to have respect for your opinions, because that's got to be hard for you. Because
it's not hard. It's the truth.
You went at it pretty hard that he was able to get through a sentence without having a stroke and collapsing over the podium. So I do appreciate that. And I think I feel the same way. I watched every fucking minute of it, right?
You want to rehash it? You want to hear a little bit of the mess?
Yeah, sure.
There's
so many high points.
There is.
My recording.
I beat Bernie Sanders.
Not by much.
I beat him a whole hell of a lot. I'm here standing facing
Pocahontas
you all, buddy.
Pocahontas would have left 2 days early. You would have lost every...
I'm glad he worked in the Pocahontas reference.
I didn't even hear that.
You didn't hear it live? Here, let's hear more.
Primary. All he knows how to
on
do
Super
is
Super Tuesday. You got
look,
very lucky.
Here's the deal. I got very lucky. I'm going to get very lucky tonight as well. And tonight I'm going
with
to make
what?
Sure because here's the deal.
With his wife?
The fact maybe. Is that everything he's saying so far is...
He's going to get lucky. He's not going to get the COVID, and Trump will.
Oh, yeah.
Simply a lie. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
But you
I
agree.
Just want to
hey,
make
Joe,
sure...
Joe, you're the liar.
I want to make sure...
You graduated last in your class, not first in your class.
I want to make
Mr.
sure...
Mr. President, can you let him finish, sir?
No, he doesn't know how to do that. He has...
You'd be that was honest.
You pick
be surprised.
The
ahead,
wrong
Joe.
Guy, the wrong night at the wrong time.
Listen, you agreed with
here's
Bernie
the deal.
Sanders to the manifesto.
The whole idea...
Let him...
There is no manifesto, number
please
one.
Please let him speak, Mr. President.
Number two...
He just lost the left.
Number two...
You just lost the left. You agreed with Bernie Sanders on a plan
folks,
that's absolutely agreed
folks, do you have any idea what this clown's doing?
They call it Medicare.
You have any do?
Socialized medicine.
You know what? I'm going to do another solid. And you heard even there at the end, you know, he says, you know what this clown is doing? And I got the other clip. Everyone's talking about the shut up man. But yeah. Remember when I said what happened to, you know, the Michelle Obamas, when they go low, we go high. Biden
right.
kept it at a higher level. He didn't stoop to Trump's level and do the personal attacks. I mean, he did his best to defend himself, but who could blame him? And yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't a debate. It wasn't anything substantive. The whole, what was it, an hour and a half? The entire hour and a half was lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was no policy. And I think that's the most important thing.
If you spent any part of that 90 minutes with your children, you're better off.
That's what I'm saying. That's time you're not going to get back.
Yeah. It's, so, you know, I'm impressed that that's your person, you know, that's how you, what you come away with from that. My personal opinion is I still would rather have not seen it, but I'm not gone through it, but it's over now. And I think probably that's it. There probably will be no more debates.
Well, I hope there is for this reason. I said Biden needed to get up there and look presidential, and he did that, but we need to get into the policy. And that's the thing. There was very little of that. I mean, I'm trying to think, they talked about Trump's
rule changes. Unless there are rule changes. I just, and even then, I mean, I don't, none of this changes it for me. I still don't want to see any more debates with Donald Trump, and none of the reasons I had, have changed. And I was listening to, I think it might've been last week's, and I was listening to, you were reading my mind trying to figure out why I was so against the debates. And so you said, hey, you really don't want, Joe to get up there and look weak or whatever. And I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, you know, I'll have to say that after thinking back on it, this doesn't negate anything else I'm saying about the debates. But yes, I don't want him to get up there and get caught up in, because Trump is a button pushing motherfucker, right? And we all know people like this in our real lives. And it doesn't matter how hard, you know, you can start every day. And you can go to every debate saying, I'm not going to let this piece of shit push my buttons. But
I'm sure you told yourself that at the start of today's show when we got into the Supreme Court, and you were starting to go there. I'm starting to push a few of those
push
buttons.
My buttons. So I don't know why that is. You know, that I got to do some thinking myself about why I care so much about that. But I mean, it's probably been, I mean, not to digress back to the Supreme Court, but I think probably this scenario that has played out where he's going to make three successful nominations to the Supreme Court. For me, the idea that Donald Trump has played any part in our history of putting anybody on the Supreme Court, and I don't really hate the what is it? Gorsuch? No, I'm getting their names all. Kavanaugh, but who's
Gorsuch? Yeah.
So I mean, so far okay. I mean, I think Kavanaugh is a whiny little bitch, and you know, I'm glad he likes beer and all that kind of good shit. And for a rapist, he's not a bad guy, but you know, and I don't really
alleged
know
rapist. Legal basis here.
Thank you. You are the junior lawyer.
That's what I say.
So you know, I don't know why it's such a hot button with me, but it is. So, but I think on as far as the debates go, I mean, no matter what, it's a dangerous situation for Joe because it was so over the top. Donald was so over the top that I think it probably made it easier for him to ignore. I mean, I didn't see him look at Donald Trump maybe three times.
Well, that's an important point. That is a very important point. And I think that it also speaks to the fact how strong Biden looked because he looked right into the camera. He spoke to the American people. He spoke to Chris Wallace. He was making notes. He was, you could see him. No, he's a professional. And Trump was, you know, trying to get under Biden's skin. I do think, I mean, you asked, was it more over the top Trump? You know, I think it was deliberate. I don't think it was accidental. I think he deliberately thought, this is my game. This is how I'm going to win. And he does think that he won.
It does appear that way.
Yeah, I kind of disagree. But let's hear, how about this one?
Right. Let people know you're a senator. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why
because,
would you answer that
because
question?
Because the question is, the question is, the
radical
question,
left.
Will you shut
who is
up,
your,
man?
Listen, who is on your list, Joe?
This
who's
is
on
so
your
right.
List?
Gentlemen, I think.
This
we've
is
ended
so
this.
Unprecedented.
He's going to pack the court.
We have
I'm not going to give a list.
We have ended this segment.
We are going to pack the court.
Yeah, well, did you see that the shut up man is already a T-shirt?
Is it?
Yeah. Would you wear it?
No, I don't wear. Here's the thing, Travis, unlike you, and I like that shirt you're wearing. Nobody can see it, but
this is my Choke Republic shirt.
Is that the name of the soccer team?
It's not. No, it's my jiu-jitsu shit. That's all I wear is jiu-jitsu gear.
Okay. I don't wear clothes with words on them. So I just don't. I don't wear. No, so
are you not going to wear the couch funeral shirts?
No, I'm not.
Do you want the boxers instead?
Yeah.
You have a choice.
Got a better chance. If I got a couch funeral shirt with a logo on the back, I would consider it. But, you know, I'm not running around with some words on my giant stomach or something like that. So that's just not a good look for me. So I don't even wear the you know what shirts that I get for free from my employer because I just don't want – I'm not a billboard. Okay, I don't care. It's just not my thing.
Well, and that look is good for you, the shirt and the, you know, no nothing on the bottoms. Just, it looks good. Don't stand up.
So, kind of lost my train of
thought. Well, so here's, in Joe also at the end of that clip, he said something to the effect of, this is not presidential. And I think he was trying to strike a chord there by making the comparison that, you know, here he is who can act presidential and the other guy is just a maniac. But here's the big thing.
So I've been accused of reciting Democratic talking points, but so I'm going to make the disclosure here before I say this that I did hear somebody say this, and so I am repeating this because I heard somebody say it. But I agree with it. Not on Joe Biden's part, but this thing that we called a debate was an embarrassment for the United States around the world. And it, you know, I don't want to see any more of these because
we need to see more.
I get that that's how you feel, but there's just not enough upside. I mean, the downside for this kind of a spectacle, I mean, that just costs us more stature, and we don't know what the ramifications of that are going to be. And we really have so little left to lose after 4 years of this nonsense. So, yeah, I think it's just all really kind of sad. I'm glad it's over. And if there are more, I'm probably not watching because
you're going to watch. I don't think you have that restraint. You will watch. And if you don't watch, we'll cover it. So don't worry about it. But here's why I think they need to do another one. I made the case.
I'll still be able to read about it on the talking points.
You will. But I made the point, made the case why we needed to have the first one. Here's why we need to have at least a second one, because there was almost no policy in there. It was all just, you know, the bully and the victim. And listen, Biden, in my opinion, he won that debate, if you're even going to call it a debate. He certainly looked more presidential. Obviously, there are still legitimate questions as to whether or not he can do a 4-year term. I mean, we've already said it. He's going to be, come on. He's already 78. He's already on borrowed time, right? I think male life expectancy.
You know why I don't care, right? You know why I don't care about that, right? You've heard it enough.
Yeah, because you have the backup plan. So whatever, that's fine. But here's why. There was almost no policy, with the exception of maybe a little bit on the taxes, because they tried to cover the Trump tax scam, and that he paid very little tax, $750 in federal income tax.
That broke like that afternoon or something, right? That tax story, or the day before.
Yeah, it was really close to the debate.
Like Monday or something, right? Where the New York Times came out with that article, I think.
Right. But even then, I mean, I've read... You know, I read the first couple of articles. I don't have inside information. He's certainly under the audit, but it remains to be seen whether or not he did anything illegal. But possibly there. So if I understand this,
you know what the audit's about, right? He got a $76 million refund.
Yeah. So here's how I understand it. This all has to do with the casino losses. So he was paying taxes. And he then had some losses to the tune of $1 billion or something. And I'm not certain if he went back and filed amended returns, but ultimately there was some period of time that allowed him to do this carry forward on these losses. So he got smart and his people got smart and said, well, let's not do that. Let's just get money back. And they issued him the 70-something million dollar refund, which is legal from what I understand. However,
evidently the IRS seems to think maybe it's not.
Here's why. And they could possibly be right. Here's the trigger. As I understand it, he bankrupted the casino businesses, filed for bankruptcy, which is all legal. But he's then supposed to be required to completely divest himself from that business or any new entity that would come out of the restructuring. I think there's evidence, or at least an allegation, that there is a new entity that took over the restructuring of the casino businesses, where he then somehow retained a 5% interest. So for him to have any interest at all, that's the violation, or that's the crime that was committed. So I think
broke the law in some way. Donald Trump?
Well, but not by what you think. The fact that he didn't pay the tax, it's not as if he just didn't pay taxes. The same way everybody accuses Amazon. And by the way, he still paid more taxes than Amazon at $750. So Nobody's doing anything illegal by not paying tax. They're taking advantage of standard tax deductions that are available to anybody in those circumstances. However, if...
I think the bigger question here now is who... And we all certainly have an absolute right to know the answer to this, because he's the president. If he wasn't the president, this would be none of our fucking business. But
I don't disagree with that either.
Oh, $400 million to.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's I believe in privacy. I don't believe that presidents should have to release their tax returns. He obviously lied about that. He said from day one that he would, and he never has. But if there is in fact a crime that was committed here, I agree that we need to understand more. Whether or not he owes $400 million to Deutsche Bank or the Russians, which I'm sure everybody wants to try to pin him on. I don't know. I'd have to think on that one.
You know, that had that been known, I mean, you know, nobody could get a security clearance with that kind of debt. Nobody. So...
Well, are you saying that because of the debt that precludes him from getting security clearance?
Yeah, and here's the reason why we have an absolute right to know every fucking detail about this, right? He is the president of the United States. If he owes somebody that much money, that puts him in a very precarious situation. And we don't know the details. Maybe it's
I got to really think about this, because if the shoe was on the other foot, we better think long and hard about what that might look like for a future president. But let me throw this out there. If he owes money to the Russians and they come capture him because they're calling the debt due, wouldn't that make you happy? Come on. Don't you want to see him on some, beheading video?
Oh, no. Again, not looking to be on any kind of list. From our fine men and women in the Secret Service. I think they're doing a great job, and I think they're entitled to their fun time at the hotel.
But here's what I was going to say about the taxes. There's more to come out about. We do need to understand what's happening with the tax returns because of the link on the bankrupt casino business. But again, there's privacy issues there too, Mike. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the fact that somebody can release that information, you wouldn't want it to happen to you. I wouldn't want it to happen
to me. I'm not the president.
No, I get it. And you're not a public figure yet. But as your celebrity rises, my friend, be careful what people want to know about you. But here's the point. I wanted to make. The disconnect and the misleading connection that Biden tried to go after, and this was the only thing possibly on policy that I think they covered, is they tried to get Trump to admit or say something about what he paid in taxes, and then Biden jumped on that and said something to the effect of, this is why I'm going to end the Trump tax cuts. So to be clear, the Trump tax cuts that he put in place as president just a few years ago have nothing to do with what he was able to take advantage of on the casino side of the business. That was obviously totally irrelevant, and I don't even think would apply. What Trump did was, in many cases, certainly he lowered the corporate tax rate and lowered the cap on the high individual rate, none of which is in play on this whole casino thing. So, you know, and that's...
I think the one other piece of policy that Trump, that Uncle Joe was able to get out was, he wouldn't undo all of that Trump tax cut. He would bring it back to 28 because 21 is too low. And even you and I have talked about this privately and thought that that seems like a more reasonable number.
It's better than 35, but here's the argument that you have to make, and this is where politicians always lose me. Why is it too low? Math is math, and it's too low because
the justifier was all the good that was going to do for the public, right?
That wasn't the only one.
Not only is it going to be good for the businesses and the corporations, but it's going to be good for the public because that's going to let them put more money into the economy, and that's the whole trickle down, and that's going to let them pay more. And they all said, yes, we're going to do all those things. And none of them did it.
I disagree with that.
So it's perfectly reasonable going forward to look back on those tax cuts and say, hey, it's time. Hey, guess what? The people that this benefited did not do what we felt they should have done. So we're going to change it up a little bit because, hey, if you're not going to do any of that, then 21 is too low. If you're going to do all that stuff, then everybody could live with it.
Number one, that wasn't the only argument, especially on the corporate tax side. The argument on the corporate tax side. The other argument was, we're not competitive. American businesses are not competitive because we pay too much in fucking tax. And that's true.
No, it's never true.
And that was the argument. And it is true. We pay too much in tax. Number two.
American companies make so much profit. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
When you cast a wide net like that, there are companies that make a lot of money. There are companies that you know, take advantage of the tax deductions, maybe the Amazons of the world. But there are millions of companies that don't. And I'm a proponent of small business. When you lump whatever the number is, I'm going to throw out this number haphazardly. Is it 70 million small businesses? Could that even be right? In this country, I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of small businesses, right? And when you lump those people,
it's that much.
Yeah. When you lump those people into the same category as the Amazons of the world, that's not right. And it's not fair. And when those people are taxed and held to the same standard, that's not right. And let's not forget, in this country, we don't make anything. We're a service country. That's all we do. We're a service economy and we're a consumer economy. That's all we do. So my point was this: when you try to make a connection that the tax rate is too high or too low, that 21 corporate is too low, the assumption there is that the money you're spending, the taxpayer money that you're spending, is justified, which I never agree with government spending.
Well, I would think you wouldn't. Yeah.
So that's where it loses me. To say that, 21% is too low, that's actually a misleading statement. What they're really saying is 21% is not enough. It's not enough for our bloated spending. And think about it this way, and I think I've made this, you know, comment before, but in case I haven't, look at the current times that we're facing with the COVID. How many people are out of work? How many people lost their jobs? When you have a significant impact to your household budget, what do you do? You don't just get to say, we're in deficit. Oh, the deficit is growing. We're going to, you know, assign
the credit card.
Yeah. And then when your credit card gets cut off or your credit limit is lowered, which these companies do, you have no choice. You have but one choice, and that is to spend less. I don't care if it's justified. I don't care if it's food for your kids. If you don't have the money for the food for your kids, you're going to split that bread in two and you're going to spend less. And we don't do that in government because we don't have to. We can print money, and that's fucking wrong. Right.
I get that. I agree. Hey, how much? So I see. I didn't really mark the time.
Hey,
so.
I want to go over one more thing because here's the big one. But it's probably this will be a teaser for next week. This is the big one.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing to
specifically?
That, but
do it.
Well, I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
I love that Biden egging him on. Do it. Say it. They had him right where they wanted him.
What do you want to call him? Give me a name.
White supremacists and right
wing. Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right wing.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right wing problem. This is a left wing.
FBI director.
This is a left wing problem.
White supremacist. Antifa is an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not militia. That's what his FBI director said. Well,
so, yeah, a little crazy there.
God. Yeah, that's...
I never heard of these Proud Boys. Who are they?
There you go. There's my new background.
Your bunghole.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's your bunghole.
That's Hurricane Michael right there. So you guys can't see it, the audience, but my background right now is Hurricane Michael, which was supposed to disconnect Florida when it went across the panhandle, and it failed. So, anyway, go on.
Can we send it all the way to the West and disconnect California? Tired of this place.
So
our governor is fucking
quite the statement. That was quite the statement. I was really looking for the Proud Boys, the new Proud Boys logo.
Is that a thing? Are they actually a thing? I never heard of them.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So, okay. So, and we can save this for next week because I'm sure we're bumping up against an hour. And that was why I asked the question
I'm sure we'll get you all fired
up. For a week, we might have a better perspective. The Proud Boys are a white supremacy paramilitia kind of situation, right? And they're dangerous as fuck, okay? And Antifa doesn't exist, okay?
There's Which is no what Joe said.
Yeah, it's Antifa. So, and Chris Wray, who is the Trump-appointed head of the FBI, and I don't give a shit whether Trump believes him or not because he's an idiot. But Chris Wray said that Antifa is not an organization. It's an idea. There is no anti-fascist organization. There's no group of people. They don't meet. They don't have coffee clutches. There's no donuts
fundraisers.
Involved.
No fundraisers. Tea and crumpets.
No, they don't
no
do
golf
any of that.
Tournaments.
Yeah, not like the Proud Boys, who he fucking put on standby.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, he fell way short of what... I mean, I think Chris Wallace... teed him up, right? I mean, he literally teed him up to just speak to the American people and put it to bed. Or
right there,
yeah,
right?
And then Biden, he was right. You know, he was right next to him. Do it, come on, say it, do it. You know, and Trump, I really think he was maybe gonna say something a little bit of a stronger statement, but then Trump or Biden egging him on, he's like, I'm not gonna fucking go along with this guy. Yeah. So, but do you think clearly he didn't go far enough to make that statement and to condemn white supremacy and hatred in this country. But do you think he went the other way? Do you take what he said, that statement, whatever it is, stand by, stand up? Do you take
stand
that?
By, stand you, back, stand by.
Do you take that statement as, is he inciting riots? Is he calling to action? How did you read that?
Yeah, these are the assholes that he wants to go into the polls and watch people vote.
Stand there with weapons and make sure people can vote.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these states, there's open carry in these states, right? And so
I'm for that.
I know you are, but you what you wanted, and I'm not. I don't know that they would allow you to bring a gun into a poll. But hey, let's say you're just a Proud Boy. Well, you got the shit, you got the look, you got the attitude. You're in the poll watching me vote, and then I got to walk out of the poll and go out to my car. That's all nonsense. That should be on a nationwide basis. That should be priority one for the police in any city or state or anywhere there's voting going on, and. Let me ask you something. Did you hear about a Texas governor, the governor of Texas, not a Texas governor, like there's multiple governors.
There's an illegitimate governor going around.
I mean, there's so much of this voter suppression going on from them. I mean, I don't know. I think we probably do need to save this for the next podcast. I'd like to talk more about what's going on with voter suppression. The the governor of Texas, he's so you got people need to mail in their, you know, they need to get their ballots in. They're not going to the polls. They're going to vote by mail.
I agree.
I'm in favor.
I don't go anywhere.
Yeah. So the governor of Texas decrees that there can only be one ballot drop-off box in each county.
Ballot drop-off box. What do you mean? You can't just put it in the post office?
We all have every place, every state that has mail-in voting has ballot drop-off boxes where you can drop your ballots
off. Like a designated place, go to the library or whatever.
Well, it goes straight to the river where they dump out all the Republican votes.
Exactly. You heard that? You heard Trump make that claim.
My brother-in-law made that claim. He told my wife today that there are millions, they have found millions of ballots in the river.
No, you have to, if you really want to have the same inflection as Trump, you have to repeat it. Millions and millions is the way he says it with that little mouth of his.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, there's a lot going on.
But listen, for the record,
we're going to be okay, though.
People should be able to vote remotely. You know, in 2020, should it be mail? No, I don't know. Just put a fucking computer chip in us and let us think it over to you. I don't know. But people should be able to vote without having to go to the polls. That's antiquated. I agree with that. The whole concern and issue I have is whether or not ballots are going to be sent to people that are not supposed to vote, dead or alive. That's just what I believe. And we need to have some way of making sure that one person gets one ballot. And I know what you're going to say hasn't been a problem. Doesn't mean it won't be. Maybe the numbers aren't large enough to sway things. But hey, if you're going to try to do something right, it needs to be right. And it needs to be set up on a solid foundation. The other thing I disagree with is, there are some states, I guess, that even have mail-in voting, but they're not allowed to process, like literally handle or touch the ballot, certainly not open the ballot until election day. That's just stupid. If it's a legitimate ballot and you have it and it's in, get the fucking work and start counting this shit. What are we doing?
You know what this reminds me of, Travis, is so a few years ago when I went to Chicago, we talked about
where you got your accent.
Yeah, where I got my accent. One day I was in Chicago. We drove down, so we drove out of the asshole of Chicago down through the biggest ghettos of every kind of ethnic ghetto you can imagine, down to Indiana, Gary, Indiana. And down in that area, they have Vegas-style casinos in riverboats, which is a pretty quaint idea, right? So we want to go to the Horseshoe, and this riverboat, so here's what it is. I'm expecting to go down to a riverboat on a river, and it's going to be cool.
It wasn't a van down by the river?
It's a fucking moat that they dig an aqueduct. There was no river in sight. I don't even know how far away the fucking river was. They dig an aqueduct and have it drain into a big ditch, a big pond that they then float a boat in, and then connect that boat to the land with a concrete bridge.
But what's your point?
My point is that is about as stupid as not counting the votes until, I mean,
are you saying they're doing that to be able to do legalized gambling?
How do these states back east and in other parts of the country come up with these totally fucking ass backward ideas about how to do stuff like that? You want to have riverboat gambling? That doesn't make any sense in the first place, but maybe it has something to do with your heritage. But then digging an aqueduct and having it drain into a ditch and putting a boat in that.
Well, that
ditch
just shows you that where there's a will, there's a way to skirt whatever stupid law there is. Hey, we got plenty of stupid laws in California. I'm going to make a note. Maybe we should, because we just had the end of our legislative session and where the governor signs all the bills, and there's some fucking wacky ones. And, you know, that's such, you know, so it goes in California.
I don't follow California politics nearly as much as you do. So if you want to talk about that, let me know so I can, you know, proverbially.
I'll send you my file. I have a file in my desk that says reasons to leave California, and it's growing thicker by the day. So,
oh my God. So we're going to talk to you.
I was going to pull you out, man. You want to fade out?
Play me out. It's okay. No, it's okay. I'm done. It's good.
I thought we were going to tease it in for next time.
Yeah, we are. Well, I think we can talk more about everything that all this stuff at the end here next week. So,
all right.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
How many things did we agree on this time?
Several, multiple. I'm in a much better mood today. Although you did get me riled up with that stupid Supreme Court shit. So,
all right, man. I'll see you
later. Bye. Thanks.